If it smells like shit, you are in the right place. You are listening to The Prodwackers, hosted by David and Craig. Enjoy.
Good morning. Listen to The Prodwackers, episode 16, I believe. Starting to get up there, man.
That's right. Sweet 16, baby.
That's right. Oh, man. So, just to make you jealous, I sent you a picture, but I went to George's Lounge last night. Got me a big Onesto on a waffle.
I kind of thought it was George's from the picture because you sent me a close-up of the platter with the fries, and they have those awesome fresh-cut fries there, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but big Onesto for the fucking win, dude. I'm jealous.
It was amazing. Now, I will say it was First Friday last night, so Canton was like super busy. Mm-hmm. George's was packed. There was like no seat, like at the normal seating area we sat in, some like weird back room thing I never sat in before. And our food took forever to get because we were so busy, and the fries were a little hard. It wasn't as good of a George's experience as usual, but I forgive them. They were really busy, but the burger was still good. I mean, it was still tasted great. But I experimented this time. I don't eat gluten, so normally I don't get a bun at all. I've had their buns in the past, and but the more and more I eat gluten, the worse I feel lately. And so I just kind of cut it out.
Mm-hmm.
And but they had a gluten-free waffle, so I added that to my meal. And I gotta say, it was solid. I probably wouldn't do it again. And they delivered it without any syrup, which was kind of odd. Because, I mean, the waffles are huge, and they kind of overtake your burger.
Right.
So you can't really eat it like a bun. And so, like, you just need that little bit of sugar, you know, added to your waffle through the syrup. And once I got some syrup for it, it was pretty damn tasty, not gonna lie.
Yeah, I've never really, I mean, some of the non-gluten stuff is just, it lacks so much flavor. I know what you're going to say. I know what you're saying about the syrup, but
mm-hmm.
Yeah, we had a guy that was super gluten intolerant that I used to work with, and we always would make fun of him and ask him if he was going to cut some of the flaps off the cardboard boxes in our shipping lab, but and eat those, but
yeah.
He ended up being our manager, so I'm glad I didn't make too much fun of him.
That's awesome. Yeah, it can be. It's one of those things where, like, you know, certain foods like really suck gluten-free, so you just don't even bother, and certain things are really good. I'm not really big into like carb-heavy foods anyway. I never really have been, so I don't really care. Like, avoiding gluten to me is like super easy, and the substitutions that I do make aren't that bad, and they've come a long way. Like, you can get like rice pasta and stuff, which to me, it doesn't taste just like real pasta, but it's good enough. And usually you're slathering butter and or like marinara sauce all over it and cheese, right. And you don't even taste it anyway.
You spice it up somehow.
Yeah. So, it was really good. I would recommend at least giving it a shot. I got the big Onesto. So that's the cheeseburger with the egg and bacon. And that was, I mean, freaking delicious.
So for anyone that might listen to this that doesn't know what First Friday is, you want to give them the lowdown on that? I mean, I actually have never been to a First Friday, so.
Yeah, so Canton has this thing every Friday, the first Friday of every month. They have like a, basically Canton downtown just like kind of opens up, and it's just like people everywhere. They've got live music. You tour all the local businesses and like go through. I think it kind of started as like an art gallery thing where like you go to like all the local little art spots and kind of mm-hmm. go and hit those up and walk through, and then there are restaurants and whatever. And then they recently passed a law called DORA, and it's Designated Outdoor Refreshment Area, I believe is what that stands for. And you can go out and carry your drinks around. You just pay like an extra dollar to the local business that you're at, and they give you a special cup. And if you have that special cup, you're allowed within a certain perimeter of downtown and allowed to walk around outside and in the streets and stuff with your beer. which is pretty cool for most people. I don't really drink, so I don't really care, but I like that they did that. I think I never really understood why you couldn't carry your beer down the street. You right. Go sit inside and drink. You can go outside and smoke, but you can't drink and walk down the sidewalk at the same time. It seemed kind of stupid. But yeah, so tons and tons of people, live music everywhere. It's just kind of just like a nice little summer thing to go do. And it was really cool. It was super packed. There's a band playing in Georgia's when we went in there. There's a dude on a saxophone wearing some sunglasses.
Mm-hmm.
That was pretty awesome. They were decent. I mean, it wasn't too bad. And then we went down to walked around for just like a second. We didn't go very far. And there were just people everywhere, and I was exhausted, so I was like, F that. Let's get out of here. So we did. It was a good time, though. I met with one of my best buddies from school growing up. He came up from South Carolina with his wife, and we met up and had dinner, and then, you know, they're heading back today. So it was good to spend some time and see them for a little bit.
Yeah, that's cool. He picked a good time to come up, that's for sure, because it's been so freaking hot the last few days. Last night was beautiful.
Well, they're used to it, man. They come from South Carolina, where it's like you can chew on the air when you walk outside in the morning.
God.
And when he came up, though, the day I think he came into town, we had that like monsoon rain. So I mean, it was like tropical storm like rains here in Ohio, which never happens.
Right.
Every time he comes up here, he comes with like the strangest weather. Last time he was here around Christmas break, and he got trapped. None of the planes could fly out anywhere because there's all these ice storms going on at all the southern airports. So they couldn't fly back home.
That sucks. Well, at least he hit it right on a nice day, the day before he was headed back.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, it was a good time.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I have to remember that come August, first Friday.
Yeah, we need to go up there together and go hit up George's. I also want to hit up Buzzbin. I've never been there.
Mm-mm. I've never been there either. I've heard some crazy stories about the place, and I've heard some really cool stories about the place.
Yeah, I don't know what to expect. I'm pretty excited, though. I want to check it out. I've walked by it quite a few times, and looking inside always looks pretty neat. So
yeah.
I like to check it out. Yeah, so what have you been up to? Anything else exciting going on?
No, survived the 4th of July festivities. It's a sweltering heat. I think it was still like 84 degrees at 10 o'clock that night when they were setting off fireworks here where we're at. And yeah, other than that, it's been a pretty normal week. Just had Wednesday off. Worked the other days, unfortunately.
Yeah, I ended up taking the last 2 days off. I wasn't going to originally. I had a project. I was supposed to travel next week and go out to Albuquerque, but it got delayed. And so the project that I was working on, I was trying to get out the door. They were late getting us some stuff, and so we delayed them. And so I didn't have to go, and I'm looking at my calendar. I'm like, well, shit, I have nothing that actually needs to be done. So I'm taking these 2 days off. I never get to take days off unless they're like scheduled way in advance. So I took them off, and we've been busy. We were up in Lakewood visiting my brother-in-law, and we went out to Crocker Park in Westlake on Thursday, and then we were up there again and went to ended up at the Cleveland Zoo on Friday. And then I went down to George's Lounge after I got home, and I can't believe I woke up this morning and didn't sleep through my alarms. I'm pretty rough right now.
Yeah. Now, the only other thing I got going on right now is tonight we have a belated 4th of July festivity, but I think it was intentional. They were holding off for the weekend, so
yeah,
get some more people there to show up. But yeah, some good friends of ours are having a 4th of July party, and the kids are looking forward to it. They always have a better fireworks display than they actually do with the city at their house, believe it or not. Their husband likes to go, or my wife's friend's husband likes to go all out with the fireworks. And I think they actually rented a dunk tank for the kids to play in this time. So it's
going to be cool. God, that's awesome. Yeah, we lived in another neighborhood a couple of years ago, and Dude, I dreaded the fucking 4th of July more than anything. I'll give you the 4th. Light off your fireworks. But if you're lighting them off before and after the 4th of July, I'm seriously considering calling the cops on you. It just drives me nuts. Like, I don't like to be the fun police, but when you're lighting that shit off when I gotta sleep and you're waking up my kid and you're scaring all my animals multiple days in a row for like weeks after 4th of July, I got problems. And, you know, I'm a pretty quiet dude, and I don't really like to get into altercations, but the one year, my son, he's always had issues just trying to get him to stay asleep. And, dude, it was like, it had to be a couple days after the 4th of July, and someone's setting off fucking mortars, like, in my backyard. And you're close together in this neighborhood. Everyone's got, like, less than a half an acre lot. You know, you're stacked in standard neighborhood on top of each other. And this jackass is out here shooting off fireworks. I went outside, and I screamed down at him. And he stopped, at least. I mean, to his credit.
Yeah.
You know, I yelled down, I'm like, I have a baby that's trying to sleep. Can you please stop lighting off fireworks?
it's been over now for a couple of days. I think those guys just like to go out and shoot off whatever they didn't get to on the actual 4th. And I'm in the same kind of neighborhood right now. Houses are anywhere from half to three quarter acre lots, and we're kind of a little bit more scattered out. But yeah, last night around 10:30, 11 o'clock, it sounded like some dickhead outside with some M80s blowing them off. I'm like, if you're just making noise in the middle of the fucking night, why didn't you do it during the day? No, you never see a cop in our neighborhood. Just fucking blow them off. What's the point of waiting until the middle of the night to shoot off noisemakers?
Just to piss everyone off. And so then they can act like, oh, why'd you call the cops? You know, those people, they're antagonizing people on purpose. Yeah, I don't care. Sure. I don't give a shit. And it's like, dude, you got to be a little bit respectful of people, especially during the work week. Like, that's what I said. Like, I give you the 4th. If you're going to light your shit off on the 4th, I'm not going to complain. It's the 4th of July. I celebrate. That's fine. I'll deal with it. I'm not that big of a curmudgeon. But, man, if you're doing that shit July 5th and after, I'm calling the cops on you. I don't want to hear it. I'm trying to fucking sleep, and I'm trying to get my kid to sleep, and you're scaring the shit out of my dog. Yep. You know, let's not do that.
Should put some speakers out on the porch and let them have it. Just start firing off sound effects back at them.
Yeah.
Charlie Parker told us to take tour of shit for all I care.
Productive.
Oh my god. Yeah. That's super productive.
I kill myself too if my last name was calm.
Since we're on this topic here real quick, before we actually get into our agenda and the topic of calling the cops on our neighbors, the first year we moved into our house, we've been in our house now about 6 years. And the first year we were here, my son would have been second or third grade. My daughter, she would have been, you know, super young at that point, 6 years. She'd have been going on 4 years old. And we get on the bus. The kids get on the bus down at the end of the street. We live on basically a dead end street with a cul-de-sac. So we got to drive down to the end of the road to get the kids on the bus. And the first couple of times we parked down there, we have this neighbor like three or four houses down from us. She would fucking drive out around real slow. And we were parked down. It was even a yield sign. You didn't even have to stop at the end of the street. Just basically look both ways and go right on through the intersection. Mm-hmm. And after like, it may have been the second week of school. I don't remember exactly. It's been forever ago, but this fucking bitch one time started creeping out around, and then she stopped, like angled in front of her car and got out of the car and came over and started bitching at my wife about parking at the end of the street. And it's hard to see. There's going to be an accident because I can't see out around your car and blah, blah, blah. And for anyone who knows my wife, she's not going to stand there and have somebody basically yelling at her in the window of her car. And she started going back at her, and she's like, well, how safe is it for your fucking dumb ass to park in the middle of the road, get out and essentially in the middle of an intersection and block traffic three ways to come over here and tell me that it's dangerous for me to sit here and wait on the bus, which as far as I know, people have been doing ever since they lived in this neighborhood that had kids. And they started getting into an altercation, bitching back and forth at each other. And this bitch is taking pictures of her phone and with her phone of the license plate and stuff. And I kind of wish she would have recorded the audio of my wife, because it probably would have been super entertaining.
All right, time for this championship bullshit.
Exactly.
That's how I imagine it going down.
Oh, fuck you!
There are a lot of fucks. But she did this like 2 days in a row, and then she did it to me too. And
I called her a bitch right in front of her tits.
Yeah, that's basically what I did. But it got so bad after like the third day, we're like, fuck this. This lady's harassing us, she's scaring the kids, and we called the cops on her. And it was perfect timing because, I don't know, she was having some kind of fuck, you know, one of those parties where all the ladies get together and they buy shit off of each other. And yeah. Hey, we're going to make a bunch of money if we have this party selling stupid shit. But
it's
anyways.
Like that, it's like that that blowjob class in old school.
Yeah, but they're selling makeup or something stupid. Yeah, it might have been a dildo party. I hope it was.
Yeah, exactly.
We called the cops on this lady, and the timing was perfect because her entire driveway and like halfway down the street was just full of cars from visitors at her house. And then the cops show up and have her come out on the porch. Oh. Hey, you're harassing your neighbor at the end of the street. You need to cut it out.
Yeah. And
from that day forward, that bitch never sits out for Halloween to trick or treat. She makes her husband pass candy out. So,
oh, man.
Brick yeah. house lady.
She's probably yeah. thinking, she's probably thinking,
this sucks camel dicks.
Yeah, that's, dude, I hate people like that. Like, just, I was telling you the other day, like, I have people that just like to randomly, like, harass me in public. And mm-hmm. I had another awkward situation the other day. Again, surprise. I'm just socially awkward, I've decided. Like, I just should not go out in public. So, we're in an elevator, and my wife and son and my brother-in-law and my mother-in-law, and we're going down this elevator. We're at that Dick's Sporting Goods up in Crocker Park, and it's, like, one of those two-story sporting goods stores. Mm-hmm. And their escalator's broken, so you have to take the elevator to go down. So we get in the elevator, and there's this older couple in there, and, you know, they're probably, like, I don't know, in their late 50s, maybe early 60s. And the dude, he looks at my son and just starts making, like, Donald Duck sounds at him.
What?
You know, just, like, to make him laugh. And yeah. he thought it was kind of funny, like, but he's a really shy kid, so he, like, buried his face into my shoulder and... you know, but then he like looks right, like turns around, looks again, like, do it again, dude. And, you know, so like I'm doing like that, like courtesy laugh, like, you know, and then as soon as the door opens, I get the hell out of there, like as fast as I can. I'm like the first one off the elevator and I'm just like, I beeline out of there and just go. And then my wife yesterday we're driving. She's like, what's your deal? Like that dude in the elevator was just like being nice. Like, why'd you just take off? I'm like, cause I don't have time for people like that. I don't want to fucking talk to you. Don't talk to me. Just go away.
Oh, man. Yeah, yeah. You must have some kind of persona that just everybody, like, you can't see, but it's just like, hey, let's go up there and mess with this dude.
I have a problem. I have resting bitch face. And I think people think they need to talk to me to cheer me up, but I'm not really that mad. Just when I sit there, my face, I just always look so angry.
Yeah.
It's my natural look.
Before they even give him a chance to open their mouth, you just need to shout at him.
Eat my short dick!
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You know what's always good for shoulder pain?
What?
If you lick my butthole.
That's what I'd like to say to him. Yeah, that's just... I don't know. I'm weird. But then, like, I was waiting in a restaurant to pick up some to-go food, and this dude next to me started talking, like, we have like a normal conversation. So I don't know, it's probably me. I just think I'm retarded.
Yeah, you must look, for the most part, you must look more approachable than I do, because people don't talk to me. They usually look away when I make eye contact with them. So I don't know what. Yeah. I generally have that look on my face, like, I don't want to talk to you, go away.
That's usually how I feel like I look. But mm-hmm. for some reason, people still feel the need to talk to me. So, I don't know. It's weird. I just, you know.
But I don't like you. Probably never will.
That's how I feel.
Oh, man.
So, I don't know. It's one of those things, man. Like, just leave me alone. I'm not a social person. I'm not a social butterfly. I fucking work from home for a reason. I don't like talking to people. Like, I don't know. I'm not good at small talk. I need small groups of people.
I'm not here to socialize with you. I'm here with my family. Leave me alone.
Yeah. That's just it. Like, I don't really want to be bothered, and I just wanted to go about my day, you know, mind my business, you know. I'm not rude to people either, you know, like I'll be nice to you. I'm actually more rude when you talk to me than if you don't, because if you catch me off guard, like I just don't know what to say. And sometimes I say some really stupid shit or I'm just mean, like not on purpose, but just like in a weird way. Like, if I encounter somebody that I'm kind of an acquaintance to out in public, you know, I'll try to avoid them if I see them in advance. So like, if I see you from far away, I'll just go the opposite direction so I don't have to talk to you. I don't know. Is that bad?
Not really. I would do the same thing. There's some people that I just try to avoid like the plague because I'd rather not even hear them open their mouth. But
I ran into a coworker of ours from our other place one time when I was at the zoo. And, you know, I said hi. But then, like, I crossed the street. Like, it was like at the part where you're like entering the zoo, and there's like the crosswalk where the cars can come through, and you're like, you have to go from the parking lot to the zoo, and from the zoo back to the parking lot. And we were heading home, and we like crossed paths as we were kind of crossing the street. And I just said, like, kind of like half acidly said, like, oh, hey, how's it going? And then we kind of like, you know, said a few things from across the street to each other, like real quick, and then just like turned around and left.
Oh, said person didn't have curly hair, a beard, and greasy sausage fingers that look like Jimmy Dean sausage links, did they?
No, I don't think so.
Okay, it wasn't that person then, so.
No, it That's wasn't. That's
the person you want to run into.
No, I think I ran into somebody worse.
Oh.
Trying to think how I can explain this to you without giving it away.
When he would bend over to pick stuff up off the floor, he wouldn't fart in your face, would he?
No. No.
I'm trying to think about how I can ask questions and not give it away.
Yeah, it was someone on my first team. Not on the second team. And
did his last name rhyme with Shartman?
God damn it, that's exactly what I was thinking.
Oh, okay. Well, I guessed it then, so okay. We didn't give it away, and we figured it out.
Problem solved. Yeah, it was him.
You're a man than I am, because I wouldn't have said anything to that guy.
Yeah, it was odd. I don't know. Like, outside of work, he was okay, but at work, he was a total doucher, so I don't know.
Yeah. Oh, he just had that look on his face that said, I'm a douchebag. I always saw it anyways.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know him good enough personally to make a full assessment, but just when I worked with him, he would definitely irritate me. Now, I'll tell you this. The one time, this is kind of what really pissed me off with him and kind of made me change my mind on how I felt about him. I was on my honeymoon, and he called me from my honeymoon, knowing I was there, to ask me work questions.
Jesus Christ. I
And it was nothing urgent, like nothing that you needed me for. You could have figured it out.
Yeah. And you were probably new enough at that point. Like, God, I have to answer this phone or I'm going to like get a bad rep at work.
Yeah, exactly.
What the fuck? I'll
drop that motherfucker.
Yeah. Just, I don't know. I just wanted to
shut up.
I was really pissed about that because like, why the fuck are you calling me? you know I'm on my honeymoon. Don't bother me. That's like the one vacation you know you really should never bother somebody on unless it's like life or death.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's just insane. I don't think you ever told me that story, but good God. What an asshole.
Yeah.
You rude motherfucker, you know that?
Yeah, so that really pissed me off, but anyhow, we should probably get to the show at some point.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, enough about us. Let's start talking about what we set out to talk about.
Right. So I was browsing the news last night when I got home, and I came across this article regarding Kyrie Irving and LeBron James' relationship prior to LeBron coming to the Cavs, and then kind of how Kyrie really felt about LeBron coming to the Cavs. And the title of the article was "Report: Kyrie Irving Never Really Wanted LeBron to Come Back to the Cavs from the Heat in 2014. And I think a lot of this came from a podcast that a few of the beat reporters put on. And I think they're mostly local, like Cleveland, Akron area guys, if I recall. Yeah, you have Jason Lloyd of The Athletic, formerly of the Akron-Beacon Journal, Joe Varden from Cleveland.com, and Dave McManaman of ESPN.com. And so they kind of talked about how LeBron and Kyrie felt about each other. And they said, Jason Lloyd said, "I'll freely admit that the relationship between James and Irving was worse than I thought. The LeBron-Kyrie relationship was worse than I thought it was. I told LeBron that on opening night. I said, 'You guys did a great job of fooling me. I had no idea.' And I won't tell you exactly what he said in response, but he more or less agreed. And that was not a good relationship between the two of them. The little brother thing did annoy the crap out of Kyrie." Yeah. So I thought it was kind of interesting because you could always kind of see it on Kyrie's face. Like when LeBron would do that stuff, it was almost like LeBron was like poking at him, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I think the article even said that Kyrie really just couldn't stand the hazing that he was getting from LeBron. Even if it was good-hearted in nature, it felt like hazing to him or something to that effect.
Yeah. And Kyrie really didn't enjoy that LeBron had a lot of power within the organization. And they go on to say, the media says, like, again, we've kind of allowed LeBron to say we shouldn't have traded Kyrie, but he did absolutely nothing to keep him here until it was too late. So that was kind of interesting. And you kind of got that sense that LeBron really, they just didn't get along. You kind of tell. I mean, they never really seemed too buddy-buddy. And they right. stay nice with each other because I don't think they like hate each other or anything. But I think Kyrie just was like, "Get me away from this dude."
Right. And I saw another article that alluded to the fact that he didn't want LeBron to come back because it was going to really fuck up the salary cap and put people in place that if he decided to leave again, that he would be stuck with, and he would be the guy that had to figure out how to move forward with the team without LeBron. But hey, guess what? 2 years after the fact, after Kyrie's gone, now LeBron's gone, Kevin Love gets to deal with that fucking mess. Even if he gets to stick around, I think I saw where basically everybody's on the trade block now. So,
yeah, it's it'll be kind of interesting to see what happens with Kevin Love in the long run. I kind of feel like they might hang on to him till the trading deadline.
Yeah.
It just seems to me like the logical thing to do. I think they're out there right now trying to figure out what they can get from him, you know, and see if they, they're trying to see if they can pull in like kind of what their offers are now. And then they know like teams at the deadline might be a little bit more desperate, you know, to try and make a push. Right. It's just, wouldn't it be odd if he ended up on the Lakers?
Jesus Christ. That would be odd, but all of these rumors and speculations that you read about it—they even threw something out there where Kevin Love really didn't like being a Cavalier the first year out of the gate because of having to get used to playing with LeBron. But maybe now it's a situation where somebody made a good point earlier in the week where they said, you know, LeBron left Cleveland the first time. Mm-hmm. He went to Miami. He promised to deliver multiple championships, which he did. He left, came back to Cleveland, said, I'm going to bring you a championship, being one championship, break mm-hmm. the curse. He did. And then he goes to the Lakers, and he didn't promise a goddamn thing. So he's there to play.
So. What do you feel like now, after we've sat here for like a week or so, what do you feel like LeBron's real intention is for being in L.A.? I don't feel like it's basketball.
No. Well, I think some of it is basketball because I alluded to it the last time we talked. I think you have to go back 20 years to when LeBron was, you know, laying in his bed in his apartment, you know, with wishful aspirations to play in the NBA. You know, he had some of the great Lakers posters on his wall. It's just, I think it's just one of those bucket list things. He wanted to play and be on the Lakers organization. I mean, from a marketing standpoint.
Yeah, but too. Don't you think, though, like when he was growing up, he was more worried about Michael Jordan?
Yeah, maybe. But I don't.
You know, like I feel like he idolized the Bulls probably way more than he did the Lakers at the time. While he probably did idolize like Magic Johnson and them, you know?
Yeah.
I'm willing to bet, though, he was more like thinking along the lines of the Bulls than he was the Lakers. I just a thought. I mean, you could be right, too. I'm not saying you're wrong, but.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. I feel like there's something like way beyond basketball here. Like either his family really wanted to be in LA full time, or he, you know, I've heard, you know, on a few other radio shows, them talking about how, specifically I've been listening to, the Stansberry Show, and they were talking about how, you know, he could take meetings anywhere. It doesn't matter. You know, you could do this, you know, in Cleveland. You've done stuff from Cleveland before, which is true. None of that's not true. But isn't it a lot easier, especially if you're like trying to ramp up more businesses and get your hands in more things to be local? I would say that it probably just is easier.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, yeah, you can take a phone call, but there's something about meeting with people in person. There really is. And so I kind of feel like that actually did weigh in a lot more than some people are giving it, you know, credence. I feel like he's trying to get his hands in the pot and more things. And I feel like he's trying to expand his brand before it's too late and try and really like, you know, entrench himself from a business standpoint in more things. And he feels that doing so in LA is probably the best chance. And he probably realized, you know, we're not beating the Warriors anytime soon in the East. So I'm going to go west and work out this other stuff while I sit here and rack up the rest of my career stats and start blowing people out of the water.
Right. I mean, that could be very well be. I mean, at this point, maybe it's just a business decision. Maybe he's trying to bring Blaze Pizza to the West Coast. I don't know how far out they franchised, but maybe he's bringing Blaze Pizza to L.A. I don't know.
Could be. I don't know. That stuff's not that good, but okay.
I've never had it, so I can't say yay or nay.
It was mediocre at best, in my opinion.
It's got to be better than Chuck E. Cheese pizza.
No, Chuck E. Cheese pizza is better.
No, oh, man.
I think Chuck E. Cheese has decent pizza, man.
That's a bold statement.
Well, you know, for Chuck E. Cheese, I don't know, dude. I think Chuck E. Cheese actually does have decent pizza. All right, what's the best pizza in Ohio?
I mean, we talked about the Kosher House.
Is that your pick?
Really, really good. I don't know if they're the best, but I mean, I really dig it. It's one of those, you know, once every 6 months type of pizza that you get, but just the best go-to pizza on a regular basis.
Anything. Your favorite. Just you're like, okay, if I could get any pizza right now, there's no constraints, no time, money, nothing. Just where are you going?
Oh, shit. Put me on the spot here, dude.
Well, dude, it's food. You should have this one ready to go.
I'm actually a big fan of Giannino's Pizza. It's more of a local brand, but there's a few restaurants in this area, and I think it's one of the better ones, honestly.
Jeannie knows. Okay. Well, my favorite used to be Donato's, their thin crust pizza.
Yeah.
But there's not very many of those around anymore. And no, I know they're like a chain, but man, there's something about that, like that thin crust with the pepperoni, like slightly crispy on top. Oh my God, I would die. But I would have to say, locally, the best pizza around here, actually, that I would probably even get over Donato's, my favorite, now I'm thinking about it, is Giuseppe's Pizza in Akron.
Never had it.
It's slightly ahead of Luigi's, in my opinion. It's some good stuff.
That's got to be some good shit.
It's very good shit. I haven't had it in a long time. Fuck, man. I think I might order some of that today. That sounds amazing. I haven't had pizza in a long time.
Are you close enough to have it delivered?
No.
You have to pick it up.
I think so. Yeah.
Not a big deal.
Nah. I don't know. See if I can talk the wife into some Giuseppe's pizza. She's going to shit. She can't eat like half that stuff. And then she won't cheat on it either, because she's got a lot of food sensitivity stuff, so she doesn't like to wreck herself over, you know, short-term benefit of eating some pizza. So
you better go say, I got to go run some errands. I'll be back in just a little bit.
Yeah.
Restaurant.
Yeah, exactly. And then she'd be like, what's that marinara sauce on your face? Because I eat like a three-year-old. And, and, you know, we'll just have to make something up from there, I guess. Oh, I cut my thumb. I think I was bleeding, wiped it on my face.
Smells like pizza sauce.
Yeah, I don't think you'd get away with it, dude. You'd probably reek of that stuff. It's so good, though. But, yeah, anyhow. So, looks like there was no love lost between LeBron and Kyrie when he got traded to the Celtics. And look at how the Cavs fare now. Like, could you imagine if we had at least Kevin Love and Kyrie Irving on the team still? Like, I feel like
shape.
Yeah, I feel like so too. Like, the one thing that I always find fascinating about the Cavaliers is that when LeBron comes back, no one can play that. Like, the entire basketball team becomes dysfunctional when he's not on the floor. So, like,
it's, you like, know, yeah, what do we do now, right?
Even when he was here with Kyrie and Kevin Love, when LeBron sat out, do you remember when he was out for like 2 weeks during one of those seasons? I think it was actually in the 2016 championship season. I think he went down for 2 weeks to like rest his back or something. Do you remember that? Yeah, and then like they like couldn't win a game. And so you have Kyrie Irving and Kevin Love on your team and you still can't win. That's bizarre to me. I don't know if it's like the style of play that LeBron dictates, where he's kind of like he's got to run the entire team even when he doesn't have the ball in his hand. I'm not like that great at the X's and O's of basketball, but it's just bizarre when, you know, he goes out there and like they're amazing, and then he goes and sits down and then they like get decimated, you know?
Yeah, I don't understand it either, especially when, you know, Kyrie's always was always in Cleveland, but Kevin Love came from a team where he was the man.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I just don't get it. I don't know if the plays aren't drawn up around him the correct way or what it is. But all this trade talk and all this other stuff, I hope we don't see Ty Lue next season either.
Oh, man.
He's a fucking idiot.
Yeah, I don't know. He doesn't seem like he does that great at coaching. But, you know, I feel like that's always the story, though, around LeBron. Like, you never have a coach who can match LeBron. And so everyone immediately goes to the, well, LeBron's really the coach. LeBron's really the GM. And that may be true, especially in the Cavs organization. They seem to really bend over for him. I probably would have, too. I mean, you're Cleveland, and you don't get a talent like that just coming into your organization ever. And the dude's from here. So it's like, let's do everything we can to keep him.
Yeah, let him have a bigger say in what's going on.
Yeah. So.
Unfortunately, I don't think we have to worry about seeing that again. Like I said, if he does come back to the Cavs, it's going to be for that one day, contract where he retires as a Cavalier. Hooray.
Yeah, most likely. I'm kind of sad about that, but, you know, what are you going to do about it?
Yep. nothing you can do about it now.
No, kind of sucks.
Oh, which begs the question, how many Lakers games are you going to watch because he's playing for L.A.?
Me? None.
Yeah.
I'll
highlight Sports Center. That's about it.
Same here. Like, I'll pay attention, but it won't be through watching. I don't really pay attention to most sports by watching them anymore, honestly. I watch the Tribe on occasion. I'm a baseball guy anyway. But the problem is, like, in my life, I decided a while ago to try to fill my time with things that are productive. So, we get up at 4 o'clock in the morning to do this podcast, right? And like, no one listens to it really, honestly. And that's fine. I think it's fun and it's creative. And it's like energy I get out of my system that I need to express that I wasn't expressing elsewhere. And hopefully it turns into a really good show and like, tons of people start listening to it or whatever. But right now that's not what it is. And I'm okay with that. And I think you're okay with that, right?
Oh yeah.
It's entertaining. We have fun doing it. And so I really enjoy it. And I needed to like start getting this creative energy I've had like pent up for years out. And so I decided like, stop wasting your time watching TV because TV doesn't really do shit for you, right? You just waste time. It's really wasted time. And so I spend a lot of time with my son. I spend a lot of time with my wife and I spend a lot of time working and then I do this and I exercise. Like those are my things right now. And, I have several other ventures that I would like to get into. I do want to start my own business at some point. I don't know what that is though. That's kind of like the problem. I don't have like a great business to start. But I would like to get into that. And, and also like I kind of want to dabble in iOS development and do some of that stuff. And, so I kind of deprioritized sports unless it was on in a very convenient time where I could sit there and actually, and enjoy it. And especially like on Sundays with the Browns, right? That's like 4 hours of your Sunday you're giving up. And I went on a tangent about this on Thursday. I'm not wasting my time watching a team that they can't get a first down.
Mm-hmm.
So like, I'm not going to waste. I mean, think about that. The 4 hours you watch of the game, 16 games a season, how many hours did you just waste?
A shit ton.
Right. Exactly. And so like, I'm not going to, waste 64 hours of my life watching horrible Browns football. It's just not productive. It's a waste of my time. I can follow the stats and watch the highlights afterwards, and catch a couple games or parts of games during the season. I'm fine with that. So I've kind of taken that approach all over the place. If I'm going to watch shows, usually it's with my wife and we like watch a show before bed or something and we'll turn on Netflix and watch a series that we want to watch or a movie we haven't seen. And, that's when I spend time watching TV. I turn TV on, like I subscribe to, RMG Plus for Rover and so I do watch that a lot. And that's kind of on in the background of us doing things, cause it is a radio show, but they broadcast it, through video feed. And so I can sit there and watch it, but usually just on for like noise. And then we, go about our day doing stuff. Right. So I don't know. That's just kind of how I've decided to live lately. And I feel like I'm starting to get more creative and get more thoughts and start coming up with things just because I don't really sit there and mindlessly watch a ton of sports anymore. Cause that was taking a lot of time.
Oh yeah, it does. And you, probably the best point you made there was watching it when it's convenient. Usually I don't watch, kind of on a regular basis unless one of the teams I'm interested in watching is in a playoff or a championship type situation. And then the fucking games are on so late at night. You're like, God damn it. I don't want to stay up until midnight to finish a game because I got to work the next day. But then ultimately, if it's a good game, you're invested in it at that point and you do stay up and watch it. So it's still not even convenient when it's in that situation. So.
Yeah. That's just it. Like you and I were texting back and forth during the finals. Like I was going to bed in the middle of a game. It wouldn't even be the end of the second quarter. And I'm like, I'm going to bed. I'll figure this out in the morning. It's just too late. Mm-hmm. I get up way too early to sit here and waste my time with watching you know, if they got to like, you know, a game where it was like a clinching game, I would have stayed up and watched the whole game.
Yeah.
But it wasn't. And so did I need to stay up and watch, you know, because basketball doesn't matter until the last 2 minutes anyway. So,
yeah, exactly. You know,
you're watching all this stuff happen and it's basically pointless until the last 2 minutes. So, yeah. You know.
I mean, it's kind of a spoiler to catch it the next day and catch the stats, but I still think it's the best way to do it because even not to mention it, you don't have to sit there for 3 hours and listen to Jeff Van Gundy run his stupid pie hole. But just watch the highlights the next day and you don't have to listen to all the stupid color commentary.
Yeah, exactly. It's just, yeah, it's a tremendous waste of time and all the ads you sit through and like the commercials that extend the game time and football is the worst. I've been railing about this for the last several years. They've become way too popular, and now it's just way too many commercials. And they take a commercial for every possible thing they can do, on top of the fact they started adding an instant replay. So they stop the game every 5 minutes to challenge a, you know, a first down or to try and figure out what the fuck a catch is. I mean...
Oh, even some of those games, they go to a split screen, and they're showing the instant replay review in the corner of the TV while they're running a fucking commercial in the second in the bottom right hand corner.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
yeah, I've never understood it. I mean, the amount of commercials people put up with for this shit is absolutely absurd to me. Like, no one ever rallies against it. You know, they're always like, oh, whatever, it is what it is. I guess maybe it's just me. Maybe just way more people are like getting drunk watching these games and just don't give a shit. But. Yeah. When I'm watching, especially the Super Bowl, and people tell me, oh, dude, I can't wait to watch the ads. You fucking lost your mind? Who wants to sit and watch commercials? It's the Super Bowl. I want to watch them play football. That's the whole point.
I want to watch the game, period.
Yeah. And 99% of your commercials suck. So let's just... And now in the age of the internet, they release them like 3 days ahead of time or a week ahead of time. So... I don't get it. Like, people are so stupid. This makes no sense to me. Don't let them fucking sit here and blast you with advertisements. Demand that you actually get to watch the game. Because they stop the Super Bowl, I mean, every 2 minutes for something. Constantly. And it's just annoying. That's why I almost don't care if the Browns ever go and win a Super Bowl. Because I can't stand watching the Super Bowl.
Yeah, theoretically, a game that could be... that's time to only be played in regulation for 1 hour takes four and a half hours to finish is just stupid.
It is. And then, but then you go watch baseball. They don't stop. It's between innings that they stop. It's like logical stopping points.
Mm-hmm.
It makes complete sense. So you're not getting constantly bombarded with ads, you know, video ads in between like every stoppage, you know? And so it drives me absolutely crazy when they do that. But then you watch like the, you know, World Series is like entertaining to watch. Like, you're especially when your team's in it, you know, you sit there and you watch and you're so invested in it. You're not getting, you know, the moment broken up by a commercial every 5 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, granted, they play, you know, a series. So it's at least 4 games that they get to get advertising for, which is different than the Super Bowl. It's 1 game. But it just, dude, the ads need toned down. Yeah. Or they need to figure out a better way to do them where they're not stopping so much. It seems unnatural, and it seems like the players play a certain way all season long, and then they get to the Super Bowl, and suddenly they have to stop constantly for advertisements and take the TV time out.
Unfortunately for us, in Game 7 of the World Series, you get right down to the end of the game, and then you have that inadvertent rain delay and all those extra commercials, and we know what happened after that. It's all history from that point. But
I don't want to talk about it.
Yeah, I don't either. Bullshit.
Oh, dude, I have no interest in talking about that. I was so mad in that game. They were getting crushed at the beginning of that game. I went to bed. I was so upset. I just went to bed. I should, you know, but I couldn't stay asleep. And then I had the game on, but I was pretending I was going to go to sleep, I guess. And then I heard Rajay Davis mash that homer, tied it up. And then I got pumped. And then I'm watching. And then rain delay. I'm like, fuck. And then, you know, we lost.
Yep.
Surprise. It's like
rain delay was a complete momentum shift. It's just like...
It was. Especially when your bullpen was already taxed. Like, we were so short on pitching that whole entire playoff run. And then you have a situation like that happen to you. It was just ripe for us to come out and just fail. I mean, no excuses, though. That, it shouldn't have happened. We still should have won. We were up three games to one. So we should have ended up winning that series. You just needed to win one more game, and they couldn't do it. So yeah. You deserve to lose if you put yourself in that situation.
My take on that whole situation right at the end of the game, and this is probably not going to be a real popular comment with evangelicals, but I think that was God pissing on the tribe saying, fuck you.
Yeah, I think so. They're like, Cleveland, you can only handle one championship in 1 year. You're not allowed to have two.
Yep, you guys got 54 more years. Piss on you.
Yeah, exactly. You can go into championship purgatory now.
Oh, it's terrible. But that's exactly the way I feel about it, so.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it is what it is. So, I don't know. Anyway, it's going to be interesting. You know, they're leading the Central again this year. Surprise, surprise. You know, it'll be fun, a fun ride, you know, seeing where we're at, you know, come the end of the season. And we're getting near the trade deadline, so it'll be kind of cool to see exactly where we are, you know, if we make any moves. I know they're kind of rumoring us to be interested in Manny Machado's services from the Orioles. Mm-hmm. That'll be kind of cool. I don't know what you have to give up to get him, though.
I think the one article I read was they might be shopping Lonnie Chisenhall. I'm hoping that's not the case. But
I would give up Lonnie for Manny Machado. You got to remember, we're a small market team, and we don't have a core like this that often, and you don't have championship runs this frequently in Cleveland. Like, think how many years we went between the 90s Indians and then now.
Right.
There was a long stretch where we did not even sniff the playoffs.
Oh, dude, you're not telling me nothing, because we just got done talking about this most recent game 7.
Mm-hmm.
I was fully invested in the tribe. Was it 97? I listened to game 7 on the radio way back when, and got my heart broken then too.
Yeah. And for me, like I always say, the Indians winning a World Series means more to me than any of the three franchises that we have, which is probably going to really piss people off because, you know, they're all about the Browns around here for some reason. Mm-hmm. And I guess part of that is, dude, like I grew up when the Browns disappeared. I think I was like 6 or 7, and then they were gone, and they didn't exist until, you know, 1999. So there was a good 5-year stretch of my, you know, pro sports Cleveland fandom development life, you know, where they didn't even exist. So they mean nothing to me. They're not an emotional bond to me. I never developed it. I root for the Browns, and I want them to win the Super Bowl. So I don't want anyone to mistake that. That's not the case at all. Like, I'm not hating on the Browns because I don't like them and don't want them to win. I hate on the Browns because of how bad they've been for 20 straight years and that people still put up with that shit.
Yeah.
That's more what makes me mad. It's the fans every season act like we are going to go to the playoffs no matter how terrible the team is on paper. I just don't get it. Like, you just seem like you guys ate a bunch of paint chips.
Yeah. The thing that I don't get is, here we are coming into the third season of Hugh Jackson's reign at the top of the helm there. And the motherfucker's only won one game so far. How does he still have a job?
Well, yeah, you're 100% right. And think about all the coaches we fired who were like, you know, 6-10 and 5-11. And you only let them have 2 seasons as they're trying to reconstruct their team. And then all of a sudden, you fire him. Hugh Jackson, I'm going to win one game in 2 years and you're still going to keep me. I mean, it makes no sense.
You fired Butch Davis, and he's the last guy that took us to the playoffs.
Yeah. And, you know, the thing with that is, I mean, they kind of put themselves in this situation at this point, because you fired so many coaches so quickly that nobody will come here.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't. So now you kind of have to leave Hugh, which you put yourself in a really crappy position to do that, where you can't get rid of the coach that's actually your worst coach you've ever had. But the roster was also terrible. So, I mean, I am on the fence. Like, I'm leaning more towards you should have got rid of him, but I'm willing to let him ride it out now, just because you're never going to get a coach to come here if you don't let them build the organization around them. And that's kind of the problem. like we're so quick to destroy the team. You know, how many times can you switch from a 4-3 to a 3-4 defense and go, you know, it just, you can't change systems constantly because it requires different players to play different positions that you don't always have. And then so you have to redo your whole roster, and then you can't draft a player to save your fucking life. Mm-hmm. And no one wants to just come sign here as a free agent unless you're going to overpay them. So, you know, you put yourself in this situation. So now the way to get out of it is to button up your internal organization as best you can, draft players that are good, and hopefully that translates to wins as a coach.
Yeah, I hope so. I mean, they've had a good draft, and they've made a lot of solid moves. And on paper right now, they look a hell of a lot better than they did last season. So I think they're headed in the right direction, but until they start winning on a consistent basis, I'm not going to be convinced of anything.
Yeah, it was a, you know, I'm still not super optimistic that they're going to win more than four games. They need to show me that they can win more than four games before I'm sitting here betting on it. They do have a talented roster, and that's what someone on Twitter was telling me, like, you need to see the roster. Okay, that's great. Great story, dude. I've seen their roster. Now, can they actually translate it to wins on the field? Because that's where it matters. Can they actually play the football game?
Yeah. Can they actually score touchdowns and make first downs?
Yeah, because I don't know. I haven't seen them do it. And I'm not going to look at the preseason for that either. Like, you're going to have to show me week one that they can actually go march down the field and score points.
Oh, hey, man, they were undefeated in the preseason last year.
Yeah, no shit. They were undefeated and then got defeated. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, it's a train wreck of a situation. You know, you've got this team that just... I hope to God they're good, but, I mean, you're depending that on Josh Gordon to stay clean.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Yeah, there's a rumor mill out there that he had a positive piss test, so, I mean, I think it was just rumor and hearsay, but, yeah, it's going to happen again.
Yeah, I'm not sure how true that was or not.
Yeah, I'm just saying what I saw out there. It was probably somebody trying to stir shit up, but.
Yeah, it most likely was, and I'm just afraid that it'll work.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Well,
one thing's for sure, if he fucks up again and screws the pooch, he don't have to worry about coming back to play in the NFL. He's going to be gonzo for good.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, I think the Browns did the right thing by keeping him and not letting him go to another team.
Mm-hmm.
He's too good to let him go, and you know he just needs to prove he can do it. And there's no reason. There was no downside to keeping him. There was only upside. Well, the downside is that you lose a guy like that. But if you're not depending on him, like if you keep him there with the hopes that he turns into something, but expect nothing, if that's your mindset, then you're doing the right thing.
Right.
So hopefully he stays clean. I mean, he just smokes pot, like, who gives a shit? But, you know, at the end of the day, dude, like, you got millions of dollars on the line and you're going to blow it over some reefer, you know?
Yeah, yeah. It's completely stupid. I can't believe that they can't stay clean for 16 weeks out of the season. And up until, you know, you have the off season, and I don't even know what the rules around that are, because that stuff doesn't stay in your system permanently. But if you can't stay clean, you know, during the period of time where you're being monitored and during mm-hmm. the regular season, then you got bigger problems, dude.
I think they monitor you like all year. Like once you get into I think once you get to like a certain point, but I don't know that for sure. He's just subject to random piss tests constantly. And think how much energy they're wasting, like and money on this dude peeing in a cup.
Yeah. And I think I alluded to this, like, one of our really early recordings that we did, that's one of the things that Joe Thomas didn't like, was these guys would just show up randomly at his house and stand there and watch him piss in a cup, and his kids were standing around like, hey, Daddy, why is that guy watching you pee in a cup?
Oh, yeah. It's, yeah, that would just be weird. But, hey, that's what it is, I guess. I don't know. Well, we'll see what happens. I hope they translate to wins this year. I don't know if I see it yet. I need them to show me before I believe it. That's where I'm at with them at this point.
Yeah.
Prove it.
I think for now I'm just going to stick with the Indians because At least they're playing well above 500 at this point. So,
yeah, you know, yeah. You know what's funny though? They have a 570 win percent,
mm-hmm.
and that would be third place in the East and third place in the West. And they're winning their division by 11.5 games.
So the division is just basically shite.
Oh, absolutely. And in the NL, they would be first in the NL East, third in the Central, and they would be first in the West. So take that for what it's worth. There are teams in the East. The Yankees are in second place right now. They're two games back of Boston,
mm-hmm.
and they have a 659 win percentage to our 570. And in the West, you've got Seattle with a 629 win percentage in second place. So, I mean, holy cow, man. You're lucky you're in that division. Yeah, we wouldn't even right. be in the playoffs if they did it differently. If they just seeded the top teams, you wouldn't even make it.
I don't know. The last few seasons, it seems like they've been somewhat of a fair weather team until they get to the All-Star break, and then trade deadline hits and the All-Star mm-hmm. breaks behind them, and then that's when they really turn it on. So
yeah, I mean, if they can shape up their bullpen a little bit, and if they happen to do make a trade for Manny Machado without having to give up too much,
mm-hmm.
they're right in it. I mean, their pitching, their starting rotation is amazing. So if they can stay healthy and add without subtracting,
right,
which is tough to do, but if they can do it, they've got just as good of a shot as anybody else does.
Mm-hmm.
They're a solid team, so I don't know. I'm really high on the Indians. Hopefully they can make another run and make it back to the series. I would love for them to win it. How nice would that be? The year LeBron leaves, NBA season kicks off, LeBron's gone, but the Indians go and win the World Series.
Oh, that would be so outstanding. I think that would end the debate of who needs to be on the wall or on the banner down at the Sherwin-Williams building.
Well, I think we already settled that debate last episode.
Well, we settled it amongst ourselves, and we did get a little bit of love on Twitter for who we think should be up there, but, you know, I know it's not going to happen, which disappoints me because I think it's an outstanding idea.
That's the only reason why she runs to a black man.
Get that Charles Ramsey billboard, man.
Dead giveaway. They thought I was lying. Who knows what's going on in the house? You know what I mean?
Yeah, so I think we need Charles on the billboard.
Yeah, exactly. I definitely think we need Charles on the billboard. I'm going to push that until I can't push it anymore. Every time I see just the word banner, it's almost like a keyword pops up. Boom. Charles. Hashtag yeah. the show. Vote Charles.
That's right. Vote Charles. Yeah, exactly. So we'll do that. We need like a trendy Twitter hashtag. I can't think of anything good though. So yeah, I don't know.
Vote Charles for now. Maybe it'll stick.
That's right. All right, well, I think that about does it for this week's show. Got any parting words?
No.
All right.
Hopefully we'll get some more little back-end information on the end of the LeBron era next week. I'm sure that the news is going to keep cranking out shit, so.
Yeah, that's right. So we'll be back again on Thursday. So see you guys.
All right, motherfuckers, the show is over. Subscribe to our show anywhere you get your podcasts, and do not forget to follow us on Twitter at Prodwackers or on Instagram at Prodwackers. And remember, every time you yawn, there is a ghost trying to put his wiener in your mouth. See you next time.